Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network command team.
Hey there, listeners. I am Amy, Deputy Director of Empowerment, and I'm hosting with Sarah, our Director of Administration. We are looking forward to sharing some awesome resources with you today. This is show number 925 of the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, Army Wife Talk Radio.
Thanks, Amy, and hello, everyone. We have some great stuff in store for you in this episode. First up, we will be sharing some of our weekly resources to help you excel in your mill spouse life. Then in just a bit, we will hear from Annie as she chats with Crystal Niehoff about homeschooling teens.
You know, as a homeschool mom of a tween and teen myself, I'm really looking forward to this interview. But before we hear from Crystal, let's chat about our mill spouse life. How are things going for you, Sarah?
Things are good. Things are finally winding down. We PCS'd this summer. My husband was gone for all the summer. And then as soon as he came home, we PCS'd. And then as soon as we PCS'd, school started. And it's just been a crazy couple of months. So we're finally getting back into a routine with my kids in school. And this is actually the first time that they've both been in school full time. So I am having a lovely time getting to work in peace for the first time in a long time. But yeah, things are good. We're sort of starting to get into fall up here in Michigan. And it's a really beautiful season in Michigan. We've never been here before. And we're really enjoying our time so far.
Yeah, we drove through Michigan once for a short trip, and it turned out to be a little bit colder than we were expecting. But I've heard like apple season there is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually gone for Labor Day. And so my husband was on point with the kids. And so they, of course, did all these awesome fun things. And one of the things they did was go to a cider mill. And so I got to come home to fresh cider and cider donuts and all of this, you know, apple flavored things, which I prefer to the pumpkin.
Absolutely. I'm with you there.
Nice. Good. But yeah, I have heard that winter is a little bit harsh. So we're trying to enjoy the weather while we can.
Absolutely. Well, that's exciting. I'm glad for you too to be able to get a few quiet days. I know that feeling of them all being out of the house, and you probably didn't even get to take a breather between your move and getting them off to school. So I'm sure that was a mad dash.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been life-changing having a few hours to myself each day. I really like it.
I miss those days a little bit now that we're homeschooling again. So
nice. Well, how are things with you? I know you also recently moved. So how are things going? Are you settled in?
We did. We moved, oh gosh, the cross country part, you know, and I can say with, you know, where I've had every move out there that you can imagine, this one was a very easy move as far as the moving, but the settling part, I've been here longer than you've gotten settled, and you seem to have already gotten it down a little bit more. I feel like I'm still like looking for the right furniture to fit the new floor plan. The husband has a new job, which is a lot more stressful. And so that's taken a little bit more time. And I give him plenty of leeway for the first couple of months and shield everybody, like everybody just stay away from dad, let him just and so that finally is coming to an end. So it's taken, you know, a couple of months, but we're finally getting, I missed the window on signing them up for some activities. So you get a little bit of mom guilt too. But you know, they're all good. They're adjusting, and they don't mind probably not having a million things to do right now, because Virginia is very pretty, and we've been here once 10 years ago. So it's been fun kind of re-exploring the area and finding new things.
Yes.
So still looking for my coffee shop, but I found a chiropractor. So, you know.
Oh, bonus. That's awesome.
Getting there.
Well, it's been super fun catching up with you, Amy. But now it is time to check in with this week's Resource Recon, which is brought to you from our ever-empowering band of bloggers, specifically our Protocol and Traditions team, Ginger, Ann, Michelle, and Linda. It is all about hail and farewells. With every new unit or army move comes the opportunity for new friendships, new experiences, and new adventures. Not everyone is comfortable being new to a unit or post, but attending the Hail and Farewells means you don't have to be new for long. This is a great blog by the Protocol team and is worth the read. They give a short history of the Hail and Farewell along with how it evolved over the years while still keeping some of those traditions going. I personally love learning about those from times past, and I'm still learning about the meaning behind some of them even after all of these years. I can think of a few funny stories and interesting unit gifts that I've seen over the years. What about you, Amy? Have you, and do you have any interesting hail and farewell stories to share?
You know, I have a couple. Well, you know, we've been over 16 years. And so I love this article because I'm still learning things as well. Like you, I just, we got a hatchet one year. He got a hatchet. That was a little scary. It hangs on the wall. It's giant. And it has like I think it was 150 etched into it, but it was a very cool gift with the unit. You know,
that is really cool.
It's really neat. And the funniest one, I think, was this last one. Our last deployment, my husband, he called them the Magnificent Seven. He had seven guys under him that were all running around and staying busy, but they called him Gibbs. And I don't know if anybody out there still watches NCIS or the original one with Gibbs, but you know, the old flip phone and the old school smack you on the head and just tell you what's up. And that is really my husband's personality. And he hates technology and he just is a little gruff like that. And they wrote a list of Gibbs rules, because Gibbs always had a rule for everything, you know, bring
that's iPhone, amazing,
you know, all the things. And so they did one for Fisher's rules and it was hilarious. And they framed it and put it on the wall and it is just him to a T. And so we were all cracking up, like they read them all off and now it's been passed around. And so now they know that, you know, Fisher's rules are just up there with Gibbs. So that was probably the coolest one.
That's really cool. That's super unique too. And then you have this on your wall and it's a good story for when you have people over, and that's really interesting.
Yeah, everybody knows him. They just have to go and look at him and they're like, yeah, that's him. And what about you guys?
I don't think we have anything as cool as a hatchet. You know, we've been hailed in breweries. We've been farewelled in breweries. We usually get, you know, the big plaque with the coins and stuff in it. It's always bittersweet. I personally hate being hailed because I don't like having to stand up in front of a room full of people that I don't know. I find it super uncomfortable, but then the farewells always make me really emotional. So they're always bittersweet. I don't have any cool stories though. I think my husband might've received a flask one year. So that was kind of cool. Yeah, but no hatchet though. I'll have to add that to the list. We need to find a unit that'll give us a hatchet.
Well, those are some good things, good memories. I love, again, hearing everybody's positive stories that they want to share. I'm encouraging that all over the place. I want to hear all the good stories. We get enough of the bad. So, and I'm also grateful for this information that is out there and easy to find. Thanks to spouses writing books and blogs like ours. Beyond our blog, we also have more empowering things taking place with our Empowerment Patrol report. Then we will check in with Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, as she shares this week's top stories. Right now, here's Amanda Bicknies, our Director of Empowerment, with this week's report.
Hello, Army Wife Talk radio listeners. I'm Amanda Bicknies, bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol Report. Today, we are showcasing Army Wife Network's Everyday Empowerment recipient, Gabby Hubbard. Gabby met her boyfriend early in high school. He had always talked about serving one day, but she didn't take him too seriously. They started dating during their junior year of high school. They went on to start college together, where he learned about the Army National Guard. She jokes it was the fastest big decision he ever made because he is notoriously indecisive. Now, 4.5 years into their relationship, they are learning how to navigate distance after consecutive missions and the loneliness that being in the Guard can bring. Gabby says she is staying busy by pursuing her education in nursing and working at a children's hospital. Thank you so much to Gabby Hubbard for doing your part to empower military families all across the globe. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bicknies, reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey.
No news is typically good news in this military life, except on Army Wife Talk Radio. Here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Annie and Sarah. Here are this week's top stories. A Ukrainian defense contact group made of about 50 nations pledged to help Ukraine fight the battles it faces with Russia and build the force necessary to defend itself into the future, reported the Department of Defense. At a meeting in Germany, Army General Mark A. Milley and Secretary of Defense Lloyd J. Austin III said the group pledged to find new and innovative ways to support Ukrainian military and Ukrainian people as they defend their country, their lives, and their freedom. The United States has agreed to support Ukraine with $675 million that will provide missiles for high-mobility artillery rocket system, more 105mm howitzers, artillery ammunition, up-armored Humvees, armored ambulances, and much more. Read more at defense.gov. The Department of Defense will stop giving the National Defense Service Medal on December 31st of this year, reported military.com. The medal was authorized to be awarded to all service members who completed basic or officer training since September 11, 2011, and by working directly or indirectly to support anti-terrorism operations, serving 30 consecutive days or 60 non-consecutive days. The medal was first awarded during the Korean War from 1950 to 1954, during the Vietnam War from 1961 to August 1974, and for Operations Desert Shield and Desert Storm from 1990 through 1995. Read more at military.com. Like all military branches, the Marine Corps have been facing retention and recruitment challenges. It is now considering the best way to meet the needs of service members it wants to keep in the service, reported Federal News Network. General Eric Smith, Marine Corps Assistant Commandant, likened it to a negotiation process. Some of the areas that Marines in demand are able to negotiate are desired locations, career changes, and working to keep dual military families serving together. You can learn more at federalnewsnetwork.com. 7-year-old Tariq has been named as South Dakota's official corn ambassador, reported NPR. Tariq went viral after being interviewed on YouTube channel Recess Therapy. He became a corn enthusiast after recently discovering that corn was real. I mean, just look at this thing. I can't imagine a more beautiful thing. It's corn, Tariq said in his interview. Tariq's family flew from New York to South Dakota, where he was named the corn ambassador at the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota. If you're unsure about trying corn, Tariq recommends spreading it with butter. I especially love his farewell phrase, have a corn-tastic day. Can check him out at npr.org. And this week in history, the September 11th, 2001 Al-Qaeda terrorist attacks transformed our world from new airport security features to 2 decades of war. We lost 2,996 loved ones in the attacks. We lost over 7,000 troops during the 2 decades of war. And countless who served and survived will carry physical and emotional scars for the rest of their lives. Our country continues to battle terrorism across the globe to prevent a nightmare like 9/11 from happening again. Secretary of Defense Lloyd J. Austin III wrote a message posted on defense.gov that shared his reflections, and I'm going to leave you with a snippet of his words. As our country looks back on 2 decades of combat in Afghanistan, I understand that many people have hard questions about the costs of the war and what their sacrifices meant. These are important discussions, and I hope we will keep having them with thoughtfulness and respect. Last year, I said that although the Afghanistan war has ended, our gratitude to those who served never will. Today, I renew that pledge. To every man and woman who served in Afghanistan, this country will never forget what you did and what you gave. Find the link to all of our new 6 reports at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. This is your Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent Jolene McNutt signing out.
It's true, listeners. No news is good news in military life, except for when it's coming from our AWN News 6 correspondent. Thanks to Jolene for always keeping us in the need-to-know news loop. Listeners, let's take a quick commercial break, then stay tuned for Annie's interview with Crystal Niehoff.
Need more information to engage, educate, encourage, and empower you in your military life journey? At ArmyWifeNetwork.com, you can find nearly 2,500 blog posts about deployment, PCS, Army life, health, finances, parenting, and so much more. You can also check out our most popular resource, Post with the Most. Courtney from Oklahoma says, Army Wife Network gave me confidence and resources to successfully handle deployment. Their podcasts and blog posts were just what I needed to realize I wasn't alone. Tap into all of our empowering resources at ArmyWifeNetwork.com.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Annie Pierce, your Director of Marketing, and I can't wait to share with you today's empowering episode. Homeschooling during the middle and high school years can feel overwhelming, but it can also be a blessing for both parent and teen. And honestly, I am honored to be interviewing today's guest, as she is the former owner and CEO of Army Wife Network from 2016 to 2019, Crystal Niehoff. Crystal is an Army chaplain's wife, mom of 5, and grandma to 5. In 2000, Crystal and her family began their homeschooling journey, which Crystal now continues with her oldest granddaughter, Lexi. Crystal co-hosts the History for Christian Teens podcast with her husband, Kevin. She's also the creator and host of the new military homeschool podcast on the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network, especially created for military homeschoolers. Crystal, welcome, or should I say welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Oh, we're so glad you're here. My son is not yet school age, but it's exciting to think about having the option to homeschool him. I'm excited for our conversation. Let's start at the beginning. Why don't you tell us about your family and your homeschooling journey?
Sure. My husband is an active duty Army chaplain of over 22 years now. I think I've got that right.
We're currently stationed.
All right. And we're getting close to retirement. We've extended it a little bit longer, but it's getting close.
Yeah.
We're currently stationed at Rock Island Arsenal, Illinois. We have 5 children, 3 grown with 2 teens still at home, and they're entering their senior year this year, and 5 grandchildren. And just found out recently, we have 1 more on the way. So we're super excited about that.
Congratulations. That's so exciting.
Thank you. Back in the spring of 2000, like many moons ago, my oldest 2 daughters were in public school, and my oldest daughter was in 2nd grade, and she began experiencing bullying at school by a boy in her class.
Oh no!
And so I brought this to the teacher's attention, but the issue just still wasn't resolved. She was just miserable going to school each day and coming home with bruises. And that was before they really did anything. You know, now there are more resources. You know, you can't even report them, but back then that just was not heard of, or at least in our area, our corner of the world. And then at the same time, my other daughter, who was in 1st grade, already totally hated school, hated reading or anything at all to do with books. Plus, for a 1st grader, I really felt that she was overloaded with homework each night. She just she would come home from school and have all this homework. And I'm thinking, she's only in 1st grade. I have no time to, to spend with her except to help her with homework. And she had no time to really play or unwind. So it was just kind of already shaping up to be a rough situation. And sending the girls to private school at that point wasn't really an option for us financially back then either. So I did what a lot of moms do, and I prayed for an answer. Mm-hmm. Well, then one day I was flipping through the TV channels looking for something to listen to while I was washing dishes. And this all kind of goes into my homeschool journey story. And I came across Oprah, and I'm not really one that watches talk shows on TV. So it never even crossed my mind to tune into Oprah. But this time what caught my attention was the topic of her show. And she had a homeschool family on. And I was struck by 2 things. One, that homeschooling was even legal, and that they were actually talking very positively about homeschooling. So I kind of listened in while I did dishes and tucked that in the corner of my mind. So then not too long later, a few days later, I was shopping at Target and I was browsing through the book section, and I found a homeschool book that was titled, and I wish I still had it because I just loved this book. It was titled something like 101 Homeschool Questions Answered. And so I kind of browsed through it and I thought, I really want to get it, but I wasn't really convinced yet that it was legal. So I felt kind of like I was doing something bad. And so I kind of decided to buy it, but I hid it in my cart underneath some other items. And I was really hoping when I checked out that the clerk wouldn't say anything, that she would just kind of, to you know, scan it through really fast and put it in my sack, you know. But no, but when she saw the book, she asked if I homeschooled my kids. And then before I even really answered, she proceeded to tell me that her sister was homeschooled and did really well and had just entered college. And she had always wished that she could have been homeschooled herself. So I couldn't help but feel that that was a sign from God. So long story short, we began homeschooling that fall.
That's awesome. And I love that something that you were like nervous about someone saying something about, they ended up saying something in such a positive light. Oh, that's so great. So how long did you homeschool your five children for?
22 years now altogether, still homeschooling. We did take a short break with my two youngest, placed them back into public school for a time, but it didn't take long before we realized that they were starting to fall behind. And so I brought them back home and just haven't looked back.
I mean, if it works, don't fix what isn't broken.
I have nothing at all against public or private school or anything like that. I tell my listeners, you know, I don't believe that once a homeschooler, always a homeschooler. We all go through seasons, and that's totally okay. You got to do what's best for your family, and that's what counts. And sometimes what's best for your family is to homeschool, and sometimes it's to put them in public school or private school. And sometimes it's a mix of that, wherever you're at in the military or whatever season of life you're in. So it's what works for your family.
I think you hit the nail on the head. You gotta make sure you're doing what's best for you and your family, you know, and what's best for you and your family might not necessarily be what's best for the next person and their family.
For sure.
So it's gotta be, I love that. And I know, especially with military spouses, you know, when you move to some of the remote locations and there's not a lot of options for schools, I know plenty of parents that have been like, all right, well, we're going to homeschool while we're here. Mm-hmm. You know? Okay. So how do you teach subjects to teens that you don't know so well?
Well, interestingly, that was one thing that I was really worried about when I first started homeschooling my kids, and they were only going into second and third grade. And I was already getting anxious about teaching them things like algebra and science, you know, biology and that type of thing that I wasn't so good at in school. I was already sweating it. But through the years, what I've learned is what's really awesome about homeschooling is you don't really have to know it all. You can learn right alongside your kids. And the other great thing is there's so many awesome resources and tools nowadays that homeschooling parents have that can help them to teach their middle school and high schoolers. So there are things like online programs, and some of them do it all for you. They teach typically like through video and then automatically grade and keep online reports. In fact, we utilize one for upper level math, and both of my teens love it. And the teacher has an Australian accent.
So oh my they love gosh. That too.
But it is such a great awesome. Math course. And I love that I don't have to do anything to teach them math except pay for the subscription, and it's a family account. So it's whether I use it for two kids or four kids or whatever. And then I just set up each of their accounts. And then the program sends me a weekly grade report for each of the kids. And then I can also log in whenever I like and just see how they're doing and make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
That's so nice. Like, I never thought that was like, I assumed, which you know what happens when you assume, but I assumed that if you were homeschooling, you were the one, you know, always teaching. And I knew there were resources, but I didn't. That's really cool that you have that ability to be like, okay, well, this is a subject I'm not very good at, but I have this resource that I can use to teach you it.
And you can teach, like, a lot of the curriculums come with a teacher's guide and a score key. Okay. So you can use that. It's a step-by-step guide for parents on how to teach the material. So if you really want to do it yourself, you can do it that way. And then also another tool that we've utilized is we've at different times joined a homeschool co-op, and they all look a little bit different, but typically they provide like different classes along with a teacher on that subject matter that knows that subject matter. And the ones we've been a part of have usually met like once a week or once every other week, and is really conducted much like a private school class, but it's not every day, an everyday situation. So we've taken things like biology, which was amazing. Gal that taught that, what used to be a physical therapist before she stayed at home with her kids. And she also loved biology and dissection and all that. So my kids had more hands-on learning with dissection than I ever got in high school and at public really? School. You know, I think we dissected a worm, a frog, and a snake, and they dissected everything from a cow's eye, and they got to see a cow's Whoa. Heart, and then the snake and the worm and the frog and all this other stuff. So it was really fascinating. And I had an up and coming vet tech. You know, my daughter wanted to be a veterinarian. Oh, she ended up really? For a while being a veterinarian tech, and okay. she just loved this class. And I think that's what really sparked her interest in veterinarian studies. So we've also done art.
That's awesome.
And other courses that way. So it's really fun. It's a fun way to connect with other homeschooling families and build your homeschool tribe. So
yeah. And again, not something I would have thought about. At my school, we dissected an owl pellet, which was very stressful for me. It was a whole lab, and there was yeah. Yeah. But I do remember dissecting a frog. We never did a snake, and I couldn't imagine dealing with cow parts, but that's awesome that yeah. then could spark your daughter's interest and be like, okay, I want to explore this. You know, I want to explore this further.
And, you know, something else that homeschoolers can do is they can take classes at the local community college or an online college, you know, algebra, geometry, biology, and many of the other upper level high school courses can be right. taken through college for not just high school credit, but college credit. So they can get that dual credit at the same time. So there's so many oh, wow. different options available. And then going back to my daughter that was into veterinarian studies, loved animals. Yep. She ended up volunteering at a veterinarian clinic for years. And that's so cool. that was part of her school, is that apprenticeship. And that's how she was able to get her tech certificate.
So that counted as like high school credit as well. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I love when there's apprenticeships that kids can do, because you can dip your toe into the waters and see like, is this for me? Or, you know, is this just right. a hobby type thing? Oh my goodness. What do you feel is the hardest part of homeschooling teenagers?
Wow, great question. And interestingly, my answer isn't going to be teaching them those difficult upper level courses, which at first it okay. was going to be. But thinking this through, I feel that it can be very tempting. I know it has been for me to enroll them into public school as our kids kind of transition into their adolescent and teen years. And, you know, those years are often just fraught with lots of emotions and rebellion, and they get kind of testy as they go through those physical changes and, oh goodness, all those hormones.
So, I'm not ready.
So it can be kind of scary. So, or at least you just want to put them on the nearest bus and ship them off to school or something. It's like, I need a break. There's not enough coffee for this. As they start to get more testy with us and struggle with their hormones, and they try to get more independence, rather than rush down to the nearest school, I'd really love to encourage parents to stick with it. You know, find ways okay. to nurture their independent spirit by teaching them to learn and study independently. Find an apprenticeship somewhere where they can volunteer, you know, other ways for them to really spread their wings, and then listen to them and consider their thoughts and feelings as valid. You know, it may not always mm-hmm. be reasonable or something that you agree with or can even allow, you know, but don't brush it off either. And sometimes they just need to get it out, you know, like I know I do, and just need right. an understanding, listening ear. And so you still want to continue to expect that they treat you with respect and others, but right. choose your battles wisely. And just, you know, teens will test your patience for sure. But as I look back, homeschooling mine through the teen years has really strengthened the bond between us. And even yeah. given all the hormones and the rebellion and the testiness, I'd do it all again in a heartbeat.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. My mom always asks me when I'm looking for advice from her, she's always asking me, is this the hill you want to die on? If so, charge forward. If not, compromise. find a way to compromise. So, exactly. And I love that you talked about making sure they feel heard and they feel like they have their input on this as well, because what they're going through might not feel important to us, but it's so important to them, mm-hmm. and for them to feel like they're in a safe space and are heard and understood.
You're so right.
Switching gears a little bit, what's the biggest blessing of homeschooling through the teen years?
Oh, I love this question. I'm so glad you asked it. The biggest blessing of, and there's so many, but the biggest blessing of homeschooling through the teen years, for me anyway, is that mm-hmm. I feel like I really know my teens and that we have a close bond. You know, and nice. With my three older ones that's grown into adulthood, that bond's lasted. And I don't feel like I just see them as they rush out the door in the morning before they go to bed at night with very little time to talk in between, you know, mm-hmm. even with my two youngest and like I did with my oldest, they, even though they still have a busy life of homeschooling with, you know, music lessons, youth group, church, co-op, friends, and everything else that they have going on. But I know what they're learning in school, and we talk about their dreams and, you know, life goals, and I get to know their friends, and I'm often involved with many of their activities. Sometimes I'm leading it, you know, as a homeschool mom. Yeah. So as they've transitioned into adulthood, we've kind of transitioned from a parent-child relationship to more of a, I want to say friendship, but it's more of a parent-adult friendship. You know, they still turn to me right. for advice as their mom. But we mm-hmm. still, we love doing things together, like, you know, going for coffee or playing board games or taking vacations. I still take vacations with my older kids too, my adult kids. So it's been challenging. Awesome. It's been so amazing.
That is wonderful to have that bond. You know, I feel like that's something we're all trying to do, especially with parents. We're all trying to make sure we have that bond with our children that then lasts when they're no longer in the house.
Right. Tying heartstrings, you know, it's that visual picture of tying your heartstring to your child's heartstring. And, you know, it changes as they get older, but mm-hmm. it's so worth it.
I still call my mom for advice.
I do too. And she's in her 80s.
Oh my goodness.
How old I am.
I was just thinking that. I was like, I'm not going to say how old I am. I'm glad we're on the same page there. There is a plethora of information about homeschooling, and I'm sure it can feel overwhelming to know where to start. I am so glad that you are helping people with that. When we come back, we'll talk more about homeschooling advice and the Military Homeschool Podcast. Listeners, if you would like to learn more about the Military Homeschool Podcast, check out their website at militaryhomeschoolpodcast.com or connect with them on social media via Facebook or Instagram at Military Homeschool Podcast. And as always, don't worry, if you miss any of those, they will all be in our show notes. Stay tuned for the rest of our interview after our quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower, advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotions, podcast audio commercials, Facebook Lives, and so much more. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Welcome back, listeners. We're continuing our conversation with Crystal Niehoff, creator and host of the Military Homeschool Podcast on the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network. Crystal, what advice would you give to military parents who are intimidated by homeschooling their teen?
Another great question, Annie. that really made me think. My advice to parents who are intimidated by homeschooling their teen is think back to when you first held your little bundle of joy. You know, remember how anxious you were, so filled with, you know, such absolute overflowing love for your new baby, but also mm-hmm. pretty intimidated, you know, this little one that you're holding, you're now completely responsible for raising. So looking back, you know, one day you'll look back wherever you are in your parenting journey and you'll see that you've got them through colic, learning to crawl, mm-hmm. learning to walk, you know, making friends, playing sports. We military families go through PCSs and deployments, you know, cold and flu and all those scrapes and bruises that kids get. And if you can get your child through all of that, you are more than capable of homeschooling them through their teen years.
Oh, goodness. That is true, because nothing really prepares you for parenthood. So, you know,
there's no you've done that. Right?
I really wish there was.
Me too.
That would be so nice. Oh my goodness. That's a great way of looking at it. Tell us about the history of the podcast that you do with your husband that's geared towards teens.
I'd love to. Well, my husband and I are huge history buffs. So together we co-host this weekly History for Christian Teens podcast that just kind of came about. That is probably one of our favorite subjects to talk about is history. And so our goal then is to bring a person or event from history to life, whether they're good or bad. There's always something to learn. And then we explore what biblical lessons we can draw from them that we can apply to our own lives as Christians. So the History for Christian Teens podcast is about 15 minutes long. It could serve as a history supplement for your teen or a devotional for your teen. Or I've found that I've been told that even families are using this as a short devotional for their family. It's very rich in scripture and biblical context. Anywhere that I can find more information, both within the scripture and outside of the scripture, mm-hmm. and tie that all together. And so my husband, who is a chaplain and has a master's of theology, goes through it all and makes sure that I'm accurate that way. And then we check it. He's got also a degree in history, American history. So we've just put that all together in our love for history and record this podcast.
And I love that you don't shy away from, you said good and bad events and people. I love that you don't shy away from that because there's still things to learn from it.
Oh, for sure. Like, you know, we've talked about, we recently went through the Old Testament and just kind of started at the beginning. And what I was struck by really researching the different biblical figures from the Old Testament is that the Bible doesn't shy away from telling the good and bad about them. You know, Abraham,
right?
How he's known as this great man of faith now, but he also didn't quite do things the way that God would have intended for him to do them, but he still blessed them in him anyway. And even his wife laughed, you know, this preposterous thing of having a child in her old age. But it's God sees the heart, you know, and so there's people who we've talked about that didn't have such a great heart, but we can still learn from them anyways. King Saul is one, but there's something you can take away from that. And then as we move into other historical timelines, you know, everyone you can learn something from. That doesn't mean you have to do what they did that was wrong, but you can learn from it as a way to avoid that pitfall.
Exactly. I feel like that's the only way we can avoid it is, you know, we don't need to make all of the mistakes. You can learn from others' mistakes.
Right.
Yeah. Then what led you to start the Military Homeschool podcast?
That was a work of heart, I think. as a homeschooler and a military spouse, I really found that homeschooling, while it's on the rise in the military community, especially post-COVID, there wasn't really anyone with any insight into the military lifestyle that was really talking about homeschooling in the military. You know, it seems like there's the homeschool community and the military spouse community, but they weren't together. It didn't seem like, I couldn't seem to find too much about it. So my vision and heart for the Military Homeschool podcast is that moms and dads who tune in each week will learn something new, maybe gain a new perspective, but most of all, mm-hmm. be inspired and encouraged in their military journey. You know, feel less alone and truly understood by someone who's been there, because I have. You know, military mm-hmm. life is challenging, and homeschooling is challenging, and well, parenting is challenging.
I was just going to say parenthood is challenging.
So we'll get through it together. And that's really my heart for this podcast.
I love that, because like you talked about, it's so easy to feel like you're alone in something, you know, especially in the military life. You know, it can feel isolating. And I love that you are working hard to make sure that others know that there's a community out there of people going through the same thing.
Oh, thank you. It's really a work of heart. And I really hope anyone that's listening, whether you're homeschooling or just thinking about homeschooling and, you know, a military family or a veteran family, I'd really love to connect with you.
Oh, awesome. Well, we will put some links to you as well in our show notes. So listeners, if you want to connect with Crystal, check out our show notes and we will have a link there for you to go. All right. So speaking about where our listeners can go, where can our listeners go to find even more empowering information about your resources?
For the History for Christian Teens podcast, you can find the website with my show notes at historyforchristianteens.com and find us on Facebook and Instagram using the handle at History for Christian Teens. For the Military Homeschool podcast, you can find the website with show notes at militaryhomeschoolpodcast.com, and then connect with me on Facebook and Instagram at Military Homeschool Podcast. And you can email me at militaryhomeschoolpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, that's wonderful. Awesome. Listeners, obviously, if you're on the go, don't worry. Check it out on our blog. We will have all those links for you right there. All right, Crystal, as you know, our primary mission here at Army Wife Network is empowerment. And we always want to hear what empowerment means to our guests. So tell us, how would you complete this sentence? Empowerment is?
Oh, I love this question. Well, throughout our lives, we'll encounter circumstances that will totally knock us for a loop, but resiliency is the ability to bounce back and overcome the difficulties. And that strength is incredibly empowering. So I believe that empowerment is resiliency.
Oh, and that works so perfectly with the Military Spouse Network, you know? Empowerment is resiliency. Military spouses, military kids, we're all resilient. I love that answer. That's wonderful. Well, Crystal, thank you so much for coming on to the show and sharing so much advice and resources for homeschooling with our listeners. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Annie. It has been so fun talking with you today.
It's been wonderful. I've loved it. All right, now let's hand it back over to our hosts in the metaphorical studio to hear what they thought of our conversation with Crystal about the Military Homeschool Podcast. Back to you, ladies.
Thank you to Crystal for sharing such empowering resources with us this week. Again, if you would like to connect with Crystal's resource, find it online via militaryhomeschoolpodcast.com or on Facebook and Instagram at Military Homeschool Podcast.
That was an excellent interview with Annie and Crystal. Amy, you said that you currently are homeschooling. So I would like to know what you thought about her interview and if you have anything that you wanted to mention.
I do. I have a teen and a tween now. We actually have graduated one daughter, and she graduated a little early, and she is now in the Coast Guard. So I loved this interview. Crystal goes back a little bit further than I do in time, but I could so relate to a child being bullied or mm-hmm. getting feeling like they were behind. You know, we decided to homeschool when we started moving a lot more than we were expected to. And falling between the cracks is hard. Now, they have more resources even now than what we did, you know, 12 years ago. And right. So I love that. There's always something being added. My kids have their own kind of routine. I've gotten to see how each one of them learn. So I agree with Crystal. There's just so many things out there and resources. You know, the only thing I would love to see change a little bit more is I see moms on the comments and they get so insecure about themselves. And I'm thinking, you know what, we've made it this long and we have survived in the real world. So we definitely have things that we can pass on to our children that they're going to need to know. And so that was good. And there's always a fear of transcripts and will my kid get accepted into college or military? And what people need to know is that they are way more accepting now than they were even then. Yes. And I have several friends that their children have gotten into some amazing colleges. My daughter got accepted into the Coast Guard right away, just with no struggles at all. And they are thriving. So, you know, we can do it, you know, if that's what's best for your kids. And I do love that Crystal shared, you've got to do what's best for you in the moment. I mean, I've had a year where mine all needed to go back to public school and it was a good transition for them and they had a great time. And then when we got to give them the choice again, they chose to come home. So, you know, whatever works, whatever season, there should be no mom guilt there because you're just trying to give your kids the best that you can and help them along their journey.
Yeah, I agree. That's a really empowering thought. I only homeschooled for 1 year, so I am, I guess, still in the shallow end of homeschooling, and it was not for me. I do not have a teacher heart, but I chose to homeschool my daughter during, you know, the peak of the pandemic, just because we do move so frequently, and her school was one of the schools that went back and forth between in-person and virtual, and they kept flip-flopping, and I didn't want all that instability for her when our life is already super unstable. So I chose to homeschool her and that's what I felt was best for our family. And I did receive some flack for it. But I was pretty confident in my choice and I still am to this day. And she's back in school this, you know, it's 2 years later and she's doing, just fine. So I think I made the right decision with that. But I had to laugh at Crystal when she said that when she bought her first homeschooling book, she hid it underneath all of her other stuff in her Target basket, just because back then it was so, I guess, either uncommon or taboo. There was just this, you know, the stigma against homeschooling. And I didn't know, with you homeschooling for, you said 16 years, did you kind of have that same feeling in the beginning? Like you had to hide it?
It's about 12, so not quite as bad in public. What was weird for me, though, is my husband was an English teacher for 7 years before he joined the Army. He comes from a long line of educators. My mother-in-law, I mean, was the principal of a blue ribbon school in Dallas. Like she is all about the education system. So she had the hardest time. In fact, like she would show up and I'm with you, Sarah, because my first year of homeschooling was a nightmare. My firstborn daughter and I knocked heads so bad. Yes. It was hilarious. And so she went right back to public school. And then we tried years later because Dad was like, no, you definitely need other people in your life. But my mother-in-law would sneak in when she would visit in town and be like, I'm just going to go spend some time with Rory. And I knew what that meant. It meant she was going to go check her reading and math skills.
Oh no.
Just to make sure that she was on point. So it took about, I want to say 6 years before she said, I understand why you're doing it. And you guys are doing a great job. But it, you know, to get out of that mindset of I'm not doing things the traditional way, I don't keep my kids in the traditional courses even now. And so sometimes you get the normal questions of how do your kids socialize? And I'm like, I promise you, just go talk to my kid for 2 minutes and you will leave the room. They are plenty socialized. And again, I'm not that organized mom. Like I had some friends that were very organized. And so if any mom out there feels like, oh no, like I am Hammy from over the hedge, I would see something like, oh, squirrel, let's make a cake about it. Let's just watch a show about it. It's horrible. And again, there are resources out there that will help you with that. So I showed up to my friend's house at a kitchen table and cried because I bought this program thinking it was going to work and it did not. Mm-hmm. And she said, don't worry, I had people help me. I'm going to help you. And she gave me a couple of books and showed me how to work through it. So, you know, it can be done even for the most scattered of us out there. And again, you kind of find your own groove and what works for your family. And it can be great. It can be struggles, but it can be great.
Yeah. And they, you know, things have changed. And especially with the pandemic, there's so many more homeschoolers. And especially in the military, there's such a strong homeschool community that you've got homeschool groups almost on every base that you can go to. There's, you know, Facebook pages. There's so many resources nowadays for people who want to homeschool. And then you've got the homeschoolers that are very organized with their baskets and their calendars and, you know, their basement looks like a classroom. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the homeschoolers that just kind of go with the flow. And you were, you know, saying that you were all over the place, but you know, I think there's merit in that too, because then they get such a wide variety of lessons from you and just this broad spectrum education that you just do what works for your family. And that seems to be working really good for you guys.
It does. It agree. And you know, I'm all about I know that I am not the only person that should be in their life anyway. So, you know, Crystal even mentioned internships and mentors. I'm all about putting people in my kids' lives that can speak into them And when they need to go to them with some, you know, like, hey, why don't you ask a few of your mentors when you're about to make a hard decision? Or, you know, if you want to go into this direction, let's find you somebody that actually is doing it. That way, I'm not trying to make it up as I go along. Let's get some concrete examples out there and for them to have other people to look up to. And I think that really helps too. And so, you know, you're right about the community. I think if you find us on a Facebook group or you hear this podcast and you still aren't sure of yourself, man, reach out to one of us, because I know even for myself, if I can't help you, I have friends that have helped me along the way, and I would love to get you pointed in that direction. And I think there's just so many people out there that they want that community, and they're totally willing to give you all their resources.
Absolutely.
Well, that is all good stuff. And as they say in the military, we are nearing the index, or end of exercise point in programming. As you get back to your daily routine, we invite you to join us every Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for our weekly Facebook Live, Mill Spouse Empowerment Moments. If you aren't able to join the live, it's always converted into a later podcast episode. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss our next full-length episode when we chat with author Jill Teigen about her book, Over, Under, Around, and Through. We are very much looking forward to sharing this info with you and your Mill Spouse tribe. Finally, if you want to connect with us here at Army Wife Network beyond the podcast, subscribe to our newsletter, the SITREP, that's Situation Report for anyone new in our Mill Spouse neighborhood. In our SITREP newsletter, we showcase our top blog posts, upcoming AWTR information, exclusive printables and giveaways, sponsor information, and more that you'll receive in your inbox twice per month. To sign up, visit armywifenetwork.com and enter your email on the right sidebar under the SITREP, or just click that nifty pop-up on the homepage.
Listeners, it is a true honor to be part of your Mill Spouse squad. We are here to cover down for you no matter what the military life might be throwing your way. We thank you for your continued support and interaction. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. Inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our engaging resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.